Rosh Hashanah falls out on Thursday and Friday. The halacha requires that one has to make an erev tavshilin. The way Tosis explains, if you plan to bake bread, cake, or cookies on Yontif for Shabbos, then you need to put away pas. And if you plan to cook on Yontif for Shabbos, then you have to have a tavshil. So we think that we may want to bake and we may want to cook also, so we put away pas for tavshil. And you say a bracha. When you make an erev tavshilin, you say a bracha. If a person doesn't plan, a person is a hotel, a person plans to eat all the meals in the cafeteria, they're not going to lift a finger, they're not going to cook anything. The only thing they're going to do is they're going to bench licht. So then the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Machlokes from Tosfos. Do you need an erev tavshilin in order to bench licht on Yom Tov for Shabbos? So he says, if that's all you plan to do, then you should really make the erev tavshilin and believe bracha. You shouldn't say a bracha because you really don't plan to use the erev tavshilin. The Gemara says that if you have any pas or tavshil, even if you've already finished eating everything in the pot on erev Yom Tov, but you have a little bit, a spoonful of food left on the bottom, and you really plan to throw it out in the garbage instead of throwing it out, you designate that as the erev tavshilin. So b'diavad you can use that also for erev tavshilin. But l'chatchila sounds like you shouldn't rely on that. So what would we require l'chatchila? But we're kazayis of tavshil. So what's wrong with that? So the Mishnah Berurah says l'chatchila it should really be cooked on erev Yom Tov l'shem kach. What do you mean l'shem kach? So he has two versions. Either l'shem kach, the food should be cooked on erev Yom Tov, planning to eat it on Yom Tov, or the food should be cooked, planning to use it for erev tavshilin. So l'chatchila, if you can do that, you should. People have a practice, they take a matzah from the box of matzahs and they take a hard-boiled egg. The matzah was baked a year ago, half a year before Pesach, and you're going to take the matzah now. It's a year and a half old already. So the matzah was clearly not baked on Erev Yom Tov l'shem Shabbos. So l'chatchila, one should use pas and tavshil that were cooked and baked on Erev Yom Tov l'shem achilas Yom Tov. The practice is to use a hard-boiled egg and a matzah, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chayyadim is not happy with a hard-boiled egg. Because the Gemara says, whatever is a tavshil that you eat all week long, that shouldn't be used for erev tavshil, it should be something special that's nikir, that is l'shem Shabbos. So the Chayyadim complains, we eat hard-boiled eggs every day, everybody eats an egg sandwich. So since the eggs are always eaten, that shouldn't you shouldn't use a hard-boiled egg. So the Mishnah Berurah is, Miyashev Dominic Golem, and he says, that's an ishtar zoge felach. What do we have? We're so wealthy. We eat fleishigs every day. We eat meat every day. So what do you have that's unique? L'kovet Shabbos, gefilte fish, or chopped liver. Well, what do you have that's unique for Shabbos? We eat everything all the time. Every day of the week, we eat delicious food. Okay, so l'chatchila, she really take, where my wife, if my wife does, my wife usually is cooked before Tisha B'Av. She already has sukkahs already. But if she'll cook something on Erev Yom Tov, l'kovet Shabbos, it'll be something Shabbosdik. A kugel, something, gefilte fish or something. So the preferable is to use that. On Shabbos, we were discussing what if a person wants to do a hachone on Yom Tov for Shabbos, which is not a malacha at all. He just plans to roll the Sefer Torah, or you want to set up the table or something for Leil Shabbos. So you need an erev tavshilin for that as well. So that's a big machlokes. Some poskim said if you have an erev tavshilin, you can set up on Yom Tov for Shabbos. If you didn't make an erev tavshilin, not allowed to set up on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Others disagree, and they say that even an erev tavshilin, Rabbi Kibbega disagrees, and he holds erev tavshilin is only needed if you plan to do a malacha on Yom Tov for Shabbos. But if you're just going to do a hachana, that's not a malacha at all. Let's say you want to roll the Sefer Torah to the correct location where they're going to have to lay in on Shabbos. So Rabbi Kadega's opinion is that for that you don't even need an Erev Tavshilin. And yet others disagree and they say Erev Tavshilin doesn't even help for rolling the Sefer Torah, because in Shulchan Aruch they quote the opinion of the Ran, Erev Tavshilin only helps for Inyoni Achila, Inyoni Hasuda. So to cook or to bake on Yom Tov for Shabbos, for that Erev Tavshilin would help. But to roll the Sefer Torah has nothing to do with eating food, or a rabbi plans to give a drasha on Shabbos, he wants to carry the sefer. If there's no Arabs, he wants to carry the sefer as Hatzor. He wants to carry a sefer on Yom Tov in order to give a shira, a drasha on Shabbos. So for that, the Erev Tavshilin wouldn't even help. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. There are those, the Mishnah Berurah quotes many who disagree, who don't follow that psak. But the Mechaber quotes that from the Ran, that an Erev Tav Shilin only helps if the person wants to do something preparing for the meal on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Whatever has nothing to do with the meal, so an Erev Tav Shilin wouldn't even help. We have a meaning that we perform Hatoris and Dorim on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So we have people usually recite what it says in the Siddur. So what it says in the Siddur has a few mistakes there. First, you start off Shimon Rabbis are Dayanim Mumchim. Since when are they Dayanim Mumchim? You just put together three Balabatim. The din is that three Hadyotas could be Mata Neder, even though they're not Mumchim. If you have a Mumchid, all you need is one. So it's by definition. If you have three, so they're not Mumchim. So what are you saying, Dayanim Mumchim? So many poskim say, should leave out the word Mumchim. Then we request the Hataras and Darim for whatever. Neder, Shvuah, Naziris, Afila, Naziris, Shimshon. This is a problem. The Gemara said Naziris, Shimshon doesn't have a Hatorah. So what are you asking for? Hatorah, Naziris, Shimshon? Some stood on the head to explain, no, Naziris, Shimshon, and Hatorah does have Hatorah. It's only a Chumim with the Rabbanah doesn't have Hatorah. So it's a Chumim with the Rabbanah doesn't have Hatorah. So what are you asking for Hatorah if it doesn't have Hatorah with the Rabbanah? So really, more correct is to leave out that line. You shouldn't say Naziris, Shimshon. And the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes that the meaning is when you do Hataras and Dorim, so you say three times Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. Why is that? So the Vilna Gaon points out there, he gives you the Mar Mekaymus, because the Karoim didn't accept Hataras and Dorim. The Mishnah at the end of the first Perek in Chagiga refers to Hataras and Dorim. Hetan Adorim Parchim Boavir, it's transmitted orally as part of the Torah Shalapet. There's no posik, there's no clear posik in Chumash that indicates that there's Hataras and Dorim. There are other Tanaim who disagree with the Mishnah, quoted there in the last daf in the first paragraph in Chagiga, who say, no, it's part of Torah Shalapet. It is read in between the lines. But whatever it is, whether it's a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai that has no Mokar, or it's a Torah Shalapet that does have a Mokar, In either case, the Karoim didn't practice Hataras and Dorim. So we want to demonstrate that we do subscribe to the Torah Shebaal Peh. So for emphasis purposes, we say three times, Mutalach, 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 that the Neder is Muta. And this is based on the Mishnah in Menachos, that when they used to do Ketziras HaOmer, so the Tzedukim is Man Bai Sheni, there was a plague of Tzedukim, so the Tzedukim didn't follow the Torah Shebaal Peh. So they held that you always do Ketziras HaOmer on Matzoy Shabbos, and Sfiras HaOmer always starts from Sunday. Akrovas Minchas HaOmer is always from Mimachos HaShabbos, always on a Sunday. And most of the time, the odds are 6-1 that Sfiras HaOmer is not going to start on a Sunday. It's going to start there 7 days in the week. It can start any day of the week. So that's why when they did the Ketziras HaOmer on any night other than Matzoy Shabbos, they would say everything three times. Have all the people gathered together from the whole neighborhood, all the farmers would gather together, and the Shleich Bezim would say, should I cut the Mincha Saima with this sickle? He would say everything three times. Should I throw it in the bag? Are you sure I should throw it in the bag? Yeah, I should throw it in the bag. Today is Shabbos. I should do it on Shabbos. Yeah. He would say everything three times to emphasize that we subscribe to the Torah Shabbat. So the meaning is that we say Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach three times. But in the Siddur, it says it nine times. It says, Hakol Mechulim Lecha, Hakol Shem Lecha, Hakol Matarim Lecha. Then it says, you should say that three times. You have to say it nine times. If you say it once, you already said it three times. So that's what the Pesukim can point out. That the text as it's printed in the Siddur already has three times. So there's no need to say that itself three times. That's already nine times. Also, when the three Dayanim say the Hataras and Dorim, they say, Hankan Lai Nedav Lai Shvav Lai Lai Naziris Lai Charam Lai Ish. Shvu and so on. So, and a lot of Siddurim is missing, v'lo kabbalah b'leiv. That when the person comes to ask for the Hataras Dorim, he asks for Hataras Dorim and the kabbalah b'leiv as well. So the Bezin should be matim and say, enkan kabbalah b'leiv as well. In the Hataras Dorim, it says also that you're asking, in case I made a tkiyas kaf. A tkiyas kaf, it says in Shulchan Aruch, if you promise something to someone, you shake hands. That's considered more serious than a Shavua. That's considered as if it's a Krisis Bris. So they say you should really not be Matar at Tkiyas Kaf. So you should really leave that out. Just like you should leave out the Nazir Shimshon, the Gemara of the Feresh, you're not Matar Nazir Shimshon. So in Shulchan Aruch, there's a Chumra not to be Matar Kabbalah Balev either. Shulchan Aruch says that a relative of the Baal HaNeder may serve as a member of the Bezin. Lach HaTchila, there's nothing wrong. It's a different kind of Bezna Karev is good. Baron Soloveitchik Zechan Lebracha had a Chiddush based on Rabbi Kivega that if you have two members of the Bezna who are Kroven to each other, that's not acceptable. This was based on his understanding of Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Kevege writes, a Korev is good to be a member of the Bezin for Hataras and Dorim, because forget about me, I'm the Balaneda, this Bezin would be good for someone else. So the Bezin as it stands is a good Bezin. What if you have two members of the Bezin that crow them to each other? So then Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik thought based on Rabbi Kevege that would not be acceptable for Hataras and Dorim. Because Rabbi Kevege says a woman cannot be a member of the Bezin for Hataras and Dorim, because a woman is not a kosher for any Bezin. Rabbi Aaron thought that the same applies if two members of the Bezin are krovim zelazim. The fellow who used to be in charge of the SOY publications was always a big Talmud, Rabbi J. Marcus, and Yeshiva in Eretz Ha'Reshit. So he was a big chassid of Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik. He used to print the psukim for every yontif from Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik as if it's halacha Moshe Messina. He didn't say it was Rabbi Aaron's chiddush. Whatever Rabbi Aaron said, that was the halacha. So when I was a student here, that was the halacha. Okay. We have a very old minhag from the days of the Gemara, at least, that we recite the Slichas this season of the year. And the end of the Slichas, they have two sections where you ask the angels to help you out. You say, Machnisa Herachmim should bring our Tfilas to HaKadosh Baruch, and then you say, Malachi Rachmim should accept our prayers. So the Vilna Gaon is quoted by Rav Chaim Volozhiner as being opposed to reciting these, and the Chasam Sofer as well says, he didn't stop the shul from saying them because Rashi and the Gemara, many Rishonim say there's nothing wrong to ask the angels to help you out. But the Rambam feels that's one of the Yud Gimel Ikor Hemunah of the Rambam. We don't speak to any angels. We don't speak to any intermediaries. The Rambam is against Rashi. So that's why Rav Chaim Volozhiner and the Vilna Gaon wouldn't say Bochun Elushon. You don't ask the angels for any blessings. And the Mishnah says, Ha'imei Varchucha Toivim Mishaskim Oso. There are six different Pshatim on the Mishnah, Yivarchucha Toivim. So one of the pshatim is, if you say the good angels should give you a blessing, you scream at the guy, Mishaskim Oso, you're not allowed to say that. We never asked anything of the angels. That's how the Rambam holds like that. So the Chasam Sofer says, he didn't stop the people in the shul from saying these piyutim in the Slichas, Machnisa Rachmim, Amalach Rachmim, but he personally didn't say them. The shul goes so quickly anyway, so you can't say all the piyutim anyway. So he said the Tachnun slowly, and then he left out these sections at the end. So, Ishgefel. The Gemara says when you recite Vidui, the Gemara learns that from Psukim Mechumash that you have to say the word Ona, please. So, and many of the Slichas, the word Ona is missing. Who can't say no? How is this done? Ona, Tovel, Hamanachat, Filosena. So, and here for the Machzorim, here for the Slichas, the word Ona is missing. I think in the art scroll it's missing. Some of the others do have it. So Rabbi Kevege says you should add the word ona. It's not right to leave it out. On Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says that we have changes in the Nusach HaTfilah. Instead of Akela Kodesh, we should recite HaMelech HaKodesh. And then the Gemara says in Aseres Yemei Tshuva, this is not the get to Shabbat Yontem, Aseres Yemei Tshuva in the Shman Esra, instead of saying Ohev Tzedakah HaMishpat, you should say HaMelech HaMishpat. B'di'evet, if a person forgot and said Akel HaKadosh, he said Ohev Tzedakah HaMishpat, he didn't say Melech HaMishpat, but b'di'evet, you're not Yotzi. The Rambam says the Rambam meaning all year long is we don't say Ohev Tzedakah HaMishpat, we say Melech Ohev Tzedakah HaMishpat. So he mentioned Melech anyway. So even though in Aseres Yemei Tshuva should really say the correct Nusach is HaMelech HaMishpat, but the two Hey HaYedias, but b'di'evet, if a person said the Nusach that he says all year long Melech Ohev Tzedakah HaMishpat, so the Rambam says b'di'evet, one would be Yotzi over there. The Gemara never says anything about changing the Nusach of HaMorechas HaMisod BaShalom to Oseh HaShalom. So Nusach Ashkenaz says that you change that Nusach HaBorech as well. Vilna Gaon was very opposed to that, and he thought we should all daven as far as that one Baruch is concerned, Nusach Svart. Nusach Svart, they don't change. They say HaMorechas HaMisod BaShalom and Aseres Mei Tshuva as well. So the Vilna Gaon felt like that also. You shouldn't change the Nusach. Then also the minig developed in many communities that when you duchen, on yontif we duchen, so instead of saying amach ze shchinos ha-letzion, so you say she'oscha levatcha b'yir ha-navad. Where in the world did this come from? She'oscha levatcha b'yir ha-navad was the nusach of the broche in the Shmoneh Esrei in the Beis HaMikdosh. She'oscha levatcha b'yir ha-navad means hakrovas ha-karbonis. So since the ikir of duchening is really in the Beis HaMikdash at the conclusion of Hakrovas Karbonas Tzibur, that that's why the minhag developed, that you changed the nusach habracha and say the nusach that you would have said in the Beis HaMikdash, because when you're duchen, you're acting as if you're really in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Vilna Gaon felt that that's not right. Why did you change the nusach habracha? The Gemara never says he's supposed to change. I remember there was a period of that, there were a few years that I was the Baal Tefillah for Musaf on Shavuos morning, and we stayed up all night long. So Shachris, half the people were awake, and Musaf time, 85% of the people were sleeping already. So they asked me, I used to have a good voice, I used to know the Nim, the Nusach, now neither. So they used to ask me, to, a few years in a row, I davened Musach as the Shliach Tziva. So I would say, the Nusach Agro, Hamachzah Shchinos HaLetzion, I wouldn't change the Joseph Levat Chavir Anav. So after davening, Rabbi Lifshitz Zechon Levracha used to sit up in the front in the Beis Medrash. So he would tell me in Yiddish, Adobo Yashikach, Ayashkach for being the Shliach Tzibur, Yashkach for saying Hamachzah Shchinos HaLetzion. Because in the yeshivas in Europe, in the Lithuanian yeshivas, they didn't always follow the Vilna Gaon, they didn't always follow the Nusach Agro. Some things they did, some things they didn't. This is one of the things that they did do, that they did follow Nusach Agro, to say Hamachzah Shchinos HaLetzion instead of Shos Chalavatcha B'yira Na'avoid. Minig Arizal is that you say Shira Malas in between Yishtabach and Baruch Hu in the morning, and the Magen Avraham quotes it, and he's not happy about it. So that's Minig Ari. Minig Sfard is like that. Minig Ashkenaz is that you don't say Shira Malas. This yeshiva was a carryover from Valojin. Valojin, they never said Shira Malas. It was a Nusach Ashkenaz yeshiva. But over the years in this yeshiva, so we had so many different Bali Tefillah, each Bali Tefillah took over, and he decided he's going to say his own Nusach, his own Niggin, and his own Nusach, and he's going to run his own show. So this was going on for years and years in the other Beis Medrash. And then we moved to this new Beis Medrash. We started anew. We turned a new leaf. So we made up that we should daven the way it was in Eitz Chaim, and she was Eitz Chaim and Valojin. So the minig here is that officially you don't say Shira Malas. Magen Avraham holds that it's a hefsek. Some of the Bali Tefillah may hijack the Amid and may decide that they're going to daven whatever they want. That's their meaning. But the meaning in Yeshiva officially is that we don't say Shira Malas. We consider it a hefsek. Baruch Epstein, the author of the Torah Tmima, wrote an autobiography, very long-winded autobiography. It's a Sgula V'Arichas Yamim to sit and read his biography. He has one chapter in his biography where he talks about misprints in the Siddur. That chapter is called Kochavim No Tzitzim. The sparkling stars, he thinks this is a misprint, that's a misprint, the other thing is a misprint. So one of the issues that he brings up is we're supposed to recite 10 psukim with the theme of Malchus, 10 psukim with the theme of Zechrinus, 10 psukim with the theme of Shoifres, 3 psukim from Chumash, 3 psukim from Ksuvim, from Tilim, and 3 psukim from Novi. So one of the 3 psukim from Tehillim regarding Zechrinus is the pasuk in Tehillim, Zecharas and Niflos of Chanun Veracham Hashem. So he says that pasuk Zecharas and Niflos doesn't have to do with Zechrinus at all. The word in that pasuk doesn't mean Zechrinus. It doesn't talk about God remembering anything. So he thought that that's perhaps a misprint. You should substitute it with a different pasuk. So Rav Soloveitchik was never too thrilled about Rav Baruch Epstein's original ideas. He said he knew him personally and didn't care for his original insights. But this one he thought was right. He checked it up in the old Machzorim of the Gaon, and the Talmud don't have the pasuk Zecharas of the Nefiloisof. So that pasuk, we recite that pasuk because we recite a pasuk right before it. What's right before it? What's the pasuk right before it? It has something about Zechrinus. I forgot already what it is. So we do recite that pasuk, but it really shouldn't count for the 10 psukim of Zechrinus. You should really add. That's right. Zechros Ilanos Achanarachim Hashem, the next book, Teref Nosan Lireyav, Yiska Leon Risa. So in the regular Machzah, says Zechros Ilanos Achanarachim Hashem, Vine Emar. So in other words, he's counting Zechros Ilanos, it was one posik, then Vine Emar, another posik, Teref Nosan Lireyav, Yiska Leon Risa. So Yiska Leon Risa, God will remember his covenant that he made with the Jewish people. So he really should leave out the word Vine Emar, because he shouldn't count these as two different psukim. You can say Zecharos and Nefloisov as a hakdama to the next pasuk. Teref Nosan Lireyav Yizkor Leolam Brisa. Then you should add on another pasuk from Ksuvim that mentions something about HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembering Zechrinus. So Rav Soloveitchik said, look in the Siddur HaGoinim. In the Goinim they have the Pasuk that the Gemara says is acceptable. That's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembering. You shouldn't say a Pasuk has the Chroinus Puronus Li Yisrael. This is Puronus Lumas Olam. So that Pasuk is acceptable. So that's a crucial Shinoi that Rav Soloveitchik introduced. He should really add another Pasuk that was pointed out by Rav Baruch Epstein. First, Rav Soloveitchik didn't want to listen to anything that he said, by definition, it has to be wrong. And then when he looked into it, he realized that it was right. So he said, we should add the pasuk. Then he pointed out, we have our practices, the Mishnah says that you say, 10 psukim for Malchus, 10 psukim for Zechonis, 10 psukim for Shofis. What is it all about, 10 psukim? So the outline of the Malchus, Zechonis, Shofis is that the beginning of each one of these three brachas, we make a statement of what the emunah is. We believe. The Rambam has 13 Ikari HaAmunah. So there's a Sefer HaIkarim by Rabbi Yosef Alba where he says it boils down to basically three Ikari HaAmunah, Malchus, Zechonis, and Shofers. Malchus is the Ikar and HaAmunah of Metzius Hashem. We believe in the existence of God. He's the Melech HaOlam, only one God. All details. We believe in Metzius Hashem. We believe in Torah HaShemayim. That's Shofers. God revealed himself in the middle of Tkiyah Shofer. He revealed himself. Tkiyah Shofer represents Gil Shechinah. And then we believe in Schar V'Yonish, that's Zichreinus. So each one of the three brachas, we start off with a paragraph making a statement of fact. This we believe in Malchus, we believe in Zichreinus, we believe in Shofar. Then we have to demonstrate, how do we know that this is correct? So we prove it by quoting Psukim from Tanakh. So we say, So one time in the Mishnah, in Rosh Hashanah, Zal Yapin, Rabbi Chaman Nuri says, it's efficient if you quote three psukim, one for Chumash, one for Nevi'im, and one from Ksuvim. So we, Lachatchila, we don't do that. We say nine psukim, three from Chumash, three from Nevi'im, and three from Ksuvim. In case you misread one of the psukim, so if you say three psukim from Chumash, three psukim from Navi, three psukim from Ksuvim, so for sure we got it straight. So we understand why you need nine psukim. Why do you need a tenth pasuk? You already proved the point by quoting three, three, and three from Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. So it would appear that the tenth pasuk serves for a different purpose. It doesn't serve for the purpose of demonstrating that the Ikar and Amunah is authentic as evidenced by the Pesukim and Tanakh. The tenth pasuk is to enhance the Bakosh at the end. The concluding paragraph of each one of these three brachas contains a Bakosh. Malchus, we ask, Melocha kol ha'olam kula b'chvaydecha. The Chronos we ask, "Okay, okay, okay." Zochem is the current of Lavanecha. Shofes we ask, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Tkab Shofes God Lachay Reseinu." So we enhance that bakasha by quoting a pasuk from Chumash. You promised us that this is going to take place. You have to fulfill your promise. So the role of the concluding pasuk really is to enhance the bakasha at the end. So that's why we have in the Chronos and Shofes we have the concluding pasuk. In the final paragraph. In the middle paragraph, you have the nine psukim. So the first paragraph is the Ikar and Amunah. Middle paragraph is to prove that it's correct, authentic from Tanakh. Final paragraph has the Bakasha. So we have the pasuk. The tenth pasuk is to enhance the Bakasha. You promised us that you have to live up to your promise. In Malchus, we have the concluding pasuk at the end of the nine psukim before the concluding paragraph. So this is an issue in the Rishonim. Ramban and other Rishonim discuss it. Why is there such a discrepancy? So in Shulchan Aruch they explain why we distinguish, why Malchus, the 10th Pasuk, follows the 9th Pesukim, and in Zechonis and Shofes we have the 10th Pasuk in the middle of the concluding paragraph, in the middle of the Bakash. So Rav Soloveitchik, to satisfy the opinion of the other Rishonim, used to recommend, this is already not Likuli, used to recommend, to satisfy the other opinion, you can add the 10th Pasuk at the conclusion of the 9th Pesukim, just like you do in Malchus. You add the 10th Pasuk, Sarasuk HaSalem Yishma Yisrael Hashem Lokein Hashem Echad. You say the 10th Pasuk right after the 9th Pesukim. So you can do the same in Zechonis and Shofes, the same Pasuk you're going to say later, in the middle of the concluding paragraph. Say that of Sarasuk HaSalem, you can say that at the end of the 9th Pesukim to satisfy the opinion of the other Mishayim. And then he suggested also, the Pasuk that we mention in the middle of Shofes doesn't really say anything about Shofar, the 10th Pasuk. It says, so it doesn't mention anything about Shofers. I cannot count for a 10th Pasuk in Shofers. So the Mechaber writes in Shulchan Aruch, that the Rosh was Meyashev the Minig. The Rosh defended the Minig, it's okay, you can be Yotze with that. What do you need, the Rosh defending a Minig? So he said, you leave, Rav Soloveitchik recommended, you leave that Pasuk where it's printed in the Machzor, but then when you want to add on a tenth Pasuk after you say the ninth Pesukim, to satisfy the other opinion, the tenth Pasuk should always follow the ninth Pesukim. So he said, maybe over there, since it's not printed anywhere, nothing is printed in the Machzor. So quote a different Pasuk, Lehi Bedov Miyakov Elar Amon Yisrael, Hashem Elokovi Moed Chuas Melech Bo. The Gemara says, that Pasuk says, Chuas Melech Bo, that's acceptable for Shofar, because it says the word of Chuas Melech Bo. So he said, if you're adding on something anyway, to satisfy the view that you should really have the tenth Pasuk following the first nine Pesukim, so why do you have to say the same Pasuk by Zechrinus? No one has any tainus against the Pasuk that we say in the concluding paragraph in Zechrinus. Say the same Pasuk. It was the Rasul Kazulaymar at the end of the nine Pesukim, Zechati Laim Brisu Shainim, etc. Over here by Shofarist, if they have Tarumas, there's a question about the Pasuk. They're adding on a line anyway that's not printed in the mouth, so you may as well add on a Pasuk that's Muskam L'chol HaDeis. The Chai Yodam has a few suggestions correcting the text of the Nusach HaTfila. So he says, number one, Kol HaRishu Kula B'Oshen Tichle. He thinks that it's not correct to say Kol HaRishu Kula K'Oshen Tichle, even though both appear in Tanakh, both expressions. But he thinks that it's more correct to say Kula B'Oshen Tichle. Then he says, based on the Rekech, who counts every letter in each one of the tefillos, he says, Zachrein Elohim is supposed to have so many letters, and it has two letters extra. He thinks you have to leave out V'chasveinu B'Sefer HaChayim. He thinks you leave out the Vav of V'chasveinu and the Hey of HaChayim. So it's, she should say, Chasveinu B'Sefer HaChayim, in order they should have the correct number of letters in accordance with what the Rekech said. Then he says also v'chein tein pachdecho. He said v'yasulcha mugur echos v'asit tzancha b'leiv of shalem shi'adano Hashem alkein. He says you shouldn't say kemo shi'adano. It doesn't make any sense. He says shi'adano Hashem alkein. He said in the name of Rab Chaim Balozhina that he said Musar. He said v'yasulcha mugur l'asurach b'leiv of shalem kemo shi'adano. We all know what we're supposed to do. We don't do it. So he said we should do v'asit tzancha kemo shi'adano. As we all know that we're doing wrong. We know what we're supposed to do. We're not doing. Yeah, but that's a vertel. So the Chayodim thinks that the word kimo doesn't belong over here. You should say without the word kimo. The Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch say when you get to the conclusion of the before the Chasimus Aruch Melech al Kol Haaretz, so you should just say Dvorcha Emes V'Kayam La'ad. Rav Soloveitchik thought that it's more correct to say the Nusach of the Nusach Svar Dvorcha Malkeinu Emes, because he's going to conclude with Melech al Kol Haaretz. He thought more correct is to say Dvorcha Malkeinu Emes instead of the Dvorcha Emes. Strictly speaking, Medina the Gemara says on Yom Kippur when the Chazan is in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, the Gemara describes everybody sitting. We have a meaning to stand in Chazaras HaShatz. The Rambam says like that, other Rishonim say, but Medina the Gemara describes everybody sitting in Chazaras HaShatz. When the Chazan gets to the Vidui, everybody stands up. The meaning in the days of the Gemara, the meaning of Grah was only the Chazan says the Vidui. The Tzibur doesn't say along the Vidui. Our meaning is we say along with the Chazan, but the Chazan should also say some. A crucial part of the Vidui, a chunk of the Vidui, should say out loud. It's supposed to be part of the Chazaras HaShatz. So you see from the Gemara that they used to sit the whole Chazaras HaShatz, they only stood up when the Chazan gets to the Vidui. By us, we say Piyutim, so we keep on opening up the Aron Kodesh and closing it. So we have a minig that when the Aron Kodesh is open, everybody stands. So strictly speaking, it's not really necessary. The Taz in Yeridea writes in Ilchas Sefer Torah that since the Sefer Torah and the Aron Kodesh is in a Rishus Bifnei Atzmo, because the Aron Kodesh normally is 10 Tvachim tall and has a depth of Dalar al Dalar Tvachim, not Dalar Amin. Dalar al Dalar Tvachim, usually a normal Aron Kodesh has Dalar al Dalar Tvachim deep. So Al Pidin, it's considered a separate room. So the Aron Kodesh, the Sefer Torah is in a different room. So you really don't have to stand up. Even if the Sefer Torah would be in our room, let's say when the bench was Chodesh, so the Chazan stands with the Sefer Torah is not walking around. So the Sefer Torah is at rest. So strictly speaking, you don't have to stand there either. You only have to stand when the Sefer Torah is moving, when the Sefer Torah is, someone is walking with the Sefer Torah. So strictly speaking, if a person is old and falling apart, hard for them to stand, so you don't have to be matrich that they should stand every time they open up the Aron Kodesh. They have to stand when they say Shemona Esrei, if they can. If they can't, they can. If they can, they should, and they should stand up. Medina Gemara, when the Chazan gets to Vidui, the Chazan says Kaddish, Dovish Bigdusha, Ashkenazim stand, the Sfardim don't stand, different Menon. But the standing when they open up the Aron Kodesh, that's really a chumrah. The Ikra Din is not really required. We have a din in the Gemara. You're not allowed to fast on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and not only you're not allowed to fast, we have a chumrah from the Balei HaTosfos. You should start eating your meal before Chatzos. If you don't begin to eat, you don't say Kiddush to left Chatzos, that's already a violation of fasting on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now in Rosh Hashanah, there was a machlokes in the days of the Gaonim. It's the Yom Adin, so maybe it is permissible to fast on Rosh Hashanah. So we pass and you're not allowed to fast. But we rely on the Gaonim with respect to this chum of the Balei HaTosfos. On Rosh Hashanah, it's not necessary to begin making Kiddush before Chatzos, even though we hold you're not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. We're not machmer that fasting till Chatzos is a violation of Tainus. You can begin to make Kiddush after Chatzos. If you drink a cup of water before Shacharis, you've solved your whole problem. So you're not fasting till after Chatzos. But even if you didn't, it's an ish gefelach. We also rely on this sheet of Gaonim. If a person besides Birchas Hamazon on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and if he gets with Seya, Yalav Yavai, so the Gemara says you have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon because you're not Yotze, there's a Chiyav Suda, you're not Yotze the Suda if you don't say with Seya, Yalav Yavai. On Rosh Chodesh, there's no Chiyav Suda, you're not allowed to fast, but you're not Mechiyav to have a Suda. So if you bench and you forget Yalav Yavai, you don't have to repeat the benching because you can't say that he wasn't Yotze the Suda, Rosh Chodesh. There is no Chiyav to have Rosh Chodesh. On Rosh Hashanah, according to the Gaonim, that you're permitted to fast on Rosh Hashanah, so you're not mechuyev to have a suda at all. So if one would bench and forget Yalav Yavai, you wouldn't have to repeat the benching. So many poskim say halacha lemaisa like that. Safik brachas lahakam. If you bench on Rosh Hashanah and you forget the Yalav Yavai, so you should rely on the shitas hagaynim that you're allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. We don't allow people to fast on Rosh Hashanah, but we rely on this shita we negate to not benching over for forgetting Yalav Yavai. But that's only Rosh Hashanah in the daytime. Leil Rosh Hashanah, there is no din. The Yom HaDin is only Rosh Hashanah in the daytime. We have Talos on Shachar. So Leil Rosh Hashanah, if a person forgets to say Yalav Yavai in benching, he would have to daven over. He would have to bench over again because there is no Shita Sagayim to rely on. The Gaonim were only Mekel that only held the Shita about fasting on Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah in the daytime. Here in the Yeshiva, there's an old practice that right after we finish Musa, we daven Mincha right away. This was introduced by Baron Lichtenstein when he lived here in the neighborhood, and he carried over from Chaim Berlin. He learned originally in high school in Chaim Berlin. There they follow the Chayyadam. The Chayyadam quotes the Vilna Gaon that Sudas Yontif is usually a much more elaborate meal than Sudas Chol and Sudas Shabbos even. Depends who made the Suda. My wife makes the Suda in Rosh Hashanah. It takes forever. It takes a long time. So the din is that you're not allowed to eat before Mincha. What does that mean? When is that? So if it's Mincha Gedoyla, it's not yet Mincha Ktan. Mincha Ktan is late in the afternoon, 2.5 hours before the end of the day. Plaga Mincha is an hour and a quarter. That's half of the Mincha Ktan. And Mincha Gedoyla is half an hour after Chatzos. So at 1:30, we daven now Mincha Gedoyla. So are you allowed to eat before, let's say, a person didn't daven Mincha at 1:30. He wants to know, can he have a sandwich before he davens Mincha? So have a little sandwich. It's a Suda Ktana. We pass on the Suda Ktana is muta before Mincha if it's Mincha Gdoila. But the Suda Gdoila, let's say you didn't yet daven Mincha and you're going to a wedding. Wedding's going to take 4 or 5 hours. But it's still going to be before the Shkia. So are you allowed to eat at the wedding? The wedding is going to be at 2 o'clock, a 2 o'clock wedding. And it's going to be for 5 hours. Wedding's going to be for 5 hours. Then you're going to daven Mincha at 7 o'clock. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, and it says in the Mishnah in Shabbos, in the first perk, that's not permissible. You're not permitted to begin the Suda Gdoila before having Davin Mincha, even if it's Mincha Gdoila. So that's the Chumra of the Chayyadim. That's Suda Siyantif, Chayyadim Shem Hagrod. The Suda Siyantif is often a Suda Gdoila, and you're not permitted to eat the Suda Gdoila before you Davin Mincha, even if it's Mincha Gdoila. When they have that minyan, that Davin, so not everybody wants to, not everybody's interested in being Machme for the Chayyadim Shem Hagrod. So they have this, half of the people do stay, half of the people don't stay. Those who stay do not say, Avina Malkeinu at the end of Mincha. Why is that? In the Siddur it says, you're supposed to say, Avina Malkeinu at the end of Mincha. The answer is because How come we don't say Avinu Malkeinu after Musaf on Rosh Hashanah? So the official explanation is because everybody's hungry. So you have to abridge a little bit. So if you daven Mincha after you daven Musaf, people are hungrier. It took another 25 minutes. So for sure we leave out Avinu Malkeinu. And Shulchan Aruch says there's a minute to go to Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah in the afternoon. And then the Vilna Gaon was opposed to the minig, but many people did have the minig. Many people did have the minig. The quote from the Vilna Gaon that he didn't eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah. So the Chazon Ish says, yeah, he didn't eat grapes because grapes are not available in Vilna at that time of the year. Rav Soloveitchik didn't think that they don't, in the Maaser Rav, they don't tell you the reason for the minhag. They just tell you, grow the minig when he didn't eat grapes. So, Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's not the reason why. The Gemara says that the Medrash says that the chet of the Eitz Hadas was on Rosh Hashanah. When we say Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the year, that's Hayom HaRasalim, today is the birthday of the world. The world was created in the Sheshes Mei Bereshis. Which day of the Sheshes Mei Bereshis was Rosh Hashanah? So that's the sixth day of creation was Rosh Hashanah, when Adam Rishon was created. Whatever happened before Adam Rishon is prehistoric. It's recorded in the Chumash, but there was no human being there to see what was going on. The Ribbono Shel Olam dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, write what I created the first 5 days. But whatever happened before Adam Rishon is prehistoric. So when we say that Rosh Hashanah Nivra HaOlam, it means that was the sixth day of creation when Adam Rishon was there and he was created. So that happened to be on a Friday at that time. Rosh Hashanah was on a Friday. By us, the way we have the calendar, Rosh Hashanah never falls out on a Friday. Lo Adu Rosh. So the Mekubalim point that because we live in an imperfect world. If we live in a perfect world, Rosh Hashanah would always fall out on a Friday, because that was the original plan. Adam Rishon was created on a Friday. That was Rosh Hashanah. So the Medrash, Pirkei de Rav Lezer, says Adam Rishon was created. He was instructed not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and an hour later he violated that there. He couldn't even hold them, couldn't contain himself. He didn't have self-control for an hour. He violated the prohibition against eating from the Eitz Hadas. An hour after he was given the instruction, he was judged on the same day, and he was punished, chased out of Gan Eden by HaKadosh Baruch Hu the same day, and he was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to transmit this tradition to the future generation, just like you were judged and punished today on Rosh Hashanah, so too in the future, this day will be established as the Yom HaDin. Because the Ramban gave a long drasha when he arrived in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban, you know, had a famous debate back in Spain, and Al Tehem, he had a debate with Pablo Cristiani, with a Meshumad. And he won the debate, but then he won the debate, he wiped the floors with the Christian religion. So he had to run away from Spain. The church would see to it that he would be killed. So he always wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. He always was a big Zionist at heart. So he ran away, he ran to Eretz Yisrael. So when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he held a long drasha. I don't know who listened to such a long drasha, a 5-hour drasha. So he wrote up, he said over all of Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, all Hilchas Tkir Shefer, in one drasha in Rosh Hashanah, must have given a drasha for 5 hours. So in the middle of that drasha, he discusses, where does it say anywhere in Tanakh that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin? So he says, the Taka doesn't say. It's an oral tradition from whom, from when, from where? Zakta from Adam Rishon. The Medrash says, the Pirkei de Rav Lezer says, Adam Rishon violated the prohibition against eating from the Eitz Hadas an hour after he was instructed, and he was judged on the same day, and he was chased out of Gan Eden, and he was punished on the same day. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him on that day, I'm establishing this day as the Yom HaDin for all of your descendants, Jews and non-Jews alike. Alamadinus Baye Yomer, and all the countries in the world, and all the individuals, everyone, all the countries, all the tziburim are all judged on Rosh Hashanah. In fact, Aseres Mei Tshuva, the Mabit writes in the Sefer Beis Elokim, Mabit was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Karo, and the Bezdin in Tzfat. He was a Bar Plukta of Rabbi Yosef Karo, but they were together in the Bezdin. So he writes in the Sefer, he thinks that Aseres Mei Tshuva is for the non-Jews as well. Dirush Hashem Behi Motso, the Navi Yeshaya says that we assume there's a certain season of the year where HaKadosh Baruch makes himself more accessible. So this is for all people, for all nations of the world. Yom Kippur is a day of Mechila Slicha, the Kapar. That's for us, because Yom Kippur was when HaKadosh Baruch said, Salachti Kedvarecha, and he forgave us on the Chet HaEgel, and so on. And he gave the Lucha Shnias, Yom Kabbalah Sater. So Yom Kippur is a day of Mechila Slicha, that's for Bnei Yisrael only. But that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin, Alamdin is Bayam, that's for everybody. And that the Aseres Mei Tshuva is more Mesugal for Tshuva, that's for everybody. We should tell all the non-Jews also. About 10, 15 years ago, there was a piece on the internet that was written by an Arab who lives in America many years already. He's in business. And he has Jewish business associates, and he sees on the calendar, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, they always take off. So he wrote a whole essay. He says he asked the Jewish acquaintances, what is it all about, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur? So they explained to him, when we do our averus, if we have charata, we're supposed to have charata, and we say vidui, and we ask our Kodesh Baruch Hu to forgive us, and we start all over again with a clean slate. So you see, we're born as Jews, so we don't realize how beautiful this is. So the Arab said, isn't that beautiful? In our society, in our culture, we never admit that we made a mistake. It's not manly to admit that you made a mistake. So we never admit when we make a mistake, we go weiter, make another mistake on top of the other mistake. He says, we should all adopt this practice. We should all. Whoever realizes it, we will all realize in our heart we make mistakes. We should all do tshuva. We should all ask for forgiveness and start all over again. There is a concept of tshuva for Umas Olam as well. It says in Yoina. Yoina went to the city Nineveh for the Jews and for the non-Jews. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin for everybody, and Aseres made tshuva for everybody. I thought it was interesting. The Jews don't. We don't appreciate the beauty of all of the Kari Hamuna. And when the Umas Olam become exposed to a mashuv of what Judaism is all about, they say how beautiful it is. There's a German philosopher who thought that the davening on Rosh Hashanah was so beautiful, Malchius. He wrote it in his German book. He transliterated the Tefillah of Malchius into German in his book. He thought it was so beautiful. We take everything for granted. Beautiful Tefillah is beautiful. Beautiful traditions and so on. We have a meaning that we bow on the floor when we say Aleinu in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz. So many people bow all the way, stretched out. So there's a din of Evan Maskus. You're not allowed to bow down on the ground if there's a stone floor. And even though our floor is not stone floor, so there's a chumrah from the Goyim, the way they interpret it in the Gemara, there may be a stone floor below. So if you have a carpet that's not attached to the floor, then the carpet is mafsik. If the rug is nailed down to the floor, then it's not mafsik. Just like the wooden floor itself is not mafsik, because it's attached to the ground. So if you would have a carpet that wouldn't be attached, you wouldn't have any problem. But we don't have any carpet that's separate. So that's why the meaning is that you put your talus in front. You have to put your talus, or you have to put papers on the floor. You have to put where you're going to put your face down, not where your knees are. People put where their knees are, they don't want to get their knees dirty, but that's not a halachic consideration. The halachic consideration is to put a towel on the floor, or to put your talus, to be mafsik between your face and the floor, or to do both, put a towel, and to be mafsik with the talus. Oh, we started saying about the grapes. Yes, so there are different opinions in the Medrash. What fruit was the Eitz Hadas? It's very in the Chumash it never says. So one opinion is that it was chita. Because the baby doesn't begin to develop seichel to say Abba Ima till he starts eating cereals, till he eats chita. Another opinion is that it's te'ena, figs. Why? Because it says Vayispuru ale te'ena. After they realized Vayedu ki eru mimhein, they realized that they were naked, so it says they took ale te'ena. Why ale te'ena? Because all the other trees were angry at them. So no tree would allow them to take any leaves to cover themselves, but they took the fig leaf. That's what it says in the Chumash. They took the fig leaves to cover themselves because the fig tree was responsible for the sin because they ate tain. And there's another opinion that the Eitz Hadas was an esrog tree. And then there's another opinion that it was a grapevine. Why a grapevine? Because from grapes you make wine, and wine makes people drunk, and that's the source of all trouble in the world. So that's what in some Kabbalah writings they say when we say Kiddush on a Friday night on wine, that's a tikkun for the chet of the Eitz Hadas. We drink the wine and we don't get drunk and we don't do crazy things after making Kiddush. We use the wine with Kedusha V'Tahara. So because there is such a popular notion, a popular opinion in the Medrash, there are four different opinions. What was the Eitz Hadas? One opinion holds that it was wheat, that at that time wheat used to grow in the trees. Now wheat doesn't grow in the trees anymore. So now it wouldn't make sense that today there should be Eitz Hadas. So the opinion in the Medrash is that then the wheat used to grow in the trees. Now it grows from the ground. So the Vilna Gaon, that's how Rav Soloveitchik taught, that because because the grapes were the Eitz Hadas, and that was where all the Marishan sinned. So we don't want to look for trouble, so we don't use any grapes. We don't eat any grapes on Rosh Hashanah. Every year my wife always says, guess what I bought for Shachyan? Grapes. Every year she does the same thing. Okay, she knows, she's kidding. When the Kohanim recite the Duchening, the Halacha says that you have to face Kohanim Panim Keneged Panim. You're supposed to face them. You're not supposed to turn around. Many people are so nervous about looking at the Kohanim's hands. The Gemara says that it's improper to look at the hands of the Kohanim. So many people are so nervous that they're going to look at the hands of the Kohanim, so they turn their backs away. So that's not proper. That's why the minig is in most places that the Kohanim cover over their hands with the talis. In the days of the Gemara, they never had such a minig. It started during the lifetime of Rabbi Yosef Karo to cover their hands. And there were two minhagim. The Mishnah Berurah lived in Poland. Radna's in Poland. So in Poland, he says, minig was the Kohanim covered their faces and the hands were exposed. And he writes, in Lithuania, or across the border, the minig is that they cover over their hands so that the tzibu shouldn't be able to see their hands. So today, most of the Kohanim, I think, cover their hands. Once in a while, you have a Kohanim only covers his face. He doesn't want to look at his hands. You have a problem, so you figure out a solution. He doesn't want to look at his hands. So that's where Tumen Hagen. So if the Kohen covers his hands, there's nothing to deceive. You look all you want, unless you crawl under the talus. There's nothing wrong with facing the Kohanim. You can't see anything anyway. There's nothing to see. So one should be careful to face the Kohanim Panim Keneged Panim. If someone is on the side, so there's going to be a sign up downstairs about Duchening. Someone is on the side, they're really supposed to face the Kohanim. You should turn around sideways to face the Kohanim. In the days of the Gemara, there was a practice. The Gemara in Sota records this, that the tzibur would recite psukim while the Kohanim would be reciting every word. Yivarechacho, they would say a pasuk. Hashem, they would say a pasuk. Yishmarecho, they would say a pasuk. So the Gemara says, but they have to pay attention to the bracha. It's not derech eretz. If the Kohanim are giving us a bracha, we're not paying attention. So the Gemara says, it's okay, we're all geniuses. We can say a pasuk and pay attention at the same time. And the Tur says, we lost our brains. We're not such big geniuses anymore. It's too hard to concentrate. To say a pasuk and to listen to Kohanim at the same time. So he recommends you shouldn't say the psukim. If you want to look in a siddur, look at the psukim. But you shouldn't really say the psukim because it'll take away from your concentration, not paying attention to listening to the psukim of the Kohanim. So more correct is that that you shouldn't say the psukim. The reciting of Malchus Reine Shofes in the davening on Rosh Hashanah appears in the Mishnayos. Rashi seems to hold that it's a din deraisa to recite Malchus Reine Shofes. The Ramban HaChumash asks on Rashi, it's against the Gemara. The Gemara said, Beferish, if a person lives in a village where there's no Shofar and there's no Bal Tefillah, so if he stays home for Rosh Hashanah, he will have neither Malchus Reine Shofes nor Tkiyah Shofar. He has to go to a different village, but he doesn't have an option to go to a village where they have everything. You need to go to one village where they have a shofar, but they don't have a machzer. So he'll hear the tkiyas, but he won't hear Malchus Reine Shofes. Or he can go to another village where they have a machzer, but they don't have a shofar. So where should he go? So the Braisa says, let him go to the village where there's a shofar, and he'll gain the shofar. So the Gemara asks on the Braisa, Pshita, shofar is a din deraisa, and Malchus Reine Shofes is only made the Rabbanan. So of course you should go to the village where they have the shofar. The Gemara says, no, the Chiddush of the Braisa is, this is all quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the Chiddush of the Braisa is, even if the shofar is a suffix, in this village there's no machzer, and there may or may not be a shofar. In the other village, there is a machzer, and there's no shofar. So if he goes to this village, he'll vada have Malchus Reine Shofes. If he goes to this village, he may be left with nothing, neither Malchus Reine Shofes nor shofar, and he may have shofar. So the Gemara says, that's what the Braisa means, that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that a suffix shofar is better than a vada Malchus Reine Shofes. So you see, Beferish, when the Gemara's discussion, the Malchus Reine Shofes only made the Rabbanon. So the Ramban HaChumash and Parshas Amor complains against Rashi. How can Rashi imply? The Gemara has different opinions. How much tchias do you have to blow? How much shofar are you supposed to blow? So there's a popular notion in the Gemara. We may not necessarily pass like that. There's a popular opinion. You have to blow three times tchias through a tchias. Why three times? So Rashi says, Pashit. Because Malchus Reine is in shofar. So Rashi is clearly assuming Malchus Reine Shofes is the Raisa, and you have to blow Shofar in connection the Raisa with the Malchus Reine Shofes. The Ramban says, what is he talking about? The Gemara said, Beferis, Malchus Reine Shofes only with the Rabban. Rabbi Soloveitchik was always fond of saying over the Teretz that says in Achrenim and the Sefer Yom Trua that the Gemara is talking about going to a village where the Chazan is going to say Malchus HaNeshev, he doesn't have a shofar. So then it's only the Rabbanon. But if you're blowing shofar with Malchus HaNeshevs, then it's their Isa. The idea behind it being that Kiyah shofar in Chodesh Elul is not part of the davening. Rav Soloveitchik used to comment, and others published this as well, that this, what we do, is not the minig in Europe. Minig always was in Europe, they blew shofar after the davening was over, not before the Davar Hashem Mori. Other communities, they don't say the Davar Hashem Mori, they blew shofar after the whole davening was over, when everybody's wrapping up the tefillin. The blowing shofar in Chodesh Elul is to remind us that Rosh Hashanah is coming. The blowing shofar in Rosh Hashanah is in the middle of the davening, in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz. It's part of the davening. The Tkiyah Shofar elevates the level of the tefillah. The Gemara says in Perek HaZov, in Bab Metzia, that Miyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash Ninalu Shari Tefillah. Because the Beis HaMikdash is Kibesi Beis Tefillah Yikare. Beis HaMikdash is a Machon Tefillah. When Shlomo HaMelech completed the building of the Beis HaMikdash, he offered his beautiful tefillah. And he said, what did I build the Beis HaMikdash for? I don't think he mentioned about HaKrovas HaKabanas. He says, he built the Beis HaMikdash that everyone should come to be mispalo there. So, Miyam Shechar Beis HaMikdash, the Pasuk says in Echa, Gam Ki Azak HaShaveh, Asa Sam Tfilosi, the prayers are no longer accepted because the Beis HaMikdash is the office where the Tfilos are supposed to be accepted. The Gemara says, but nonetheless, Tfilos Sheyeshi Moa Demois, if a person is moved to tears, he davened so sincerely and honestly and seriously that he's crying in the middle of the tefillahs, that's a higher level of tefillahs. So those tefillahs even work bizman shein beis hamikdashkai. So the tekiyah shofar teruah, the pasuk says yom teruah yelachem, and metargimin, and targum onkla says yom yabova. The Gemara quotes the targum onkla. The Gemara says, what does yabova mean? To cry. When Sisera didn't come back from battle, so his mother was crying. Aim Sisera was standing by the window of Ati Yabev, she was sobbing. So you have to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, it should sound like crying. Well, why should the shofar sound like crying? That's a tefillah sheyesh imo demoy. So the idea of tefillah on Rosh Hashanah is to elevate the level. The idea of tekiyah shofar on Rosh Hashanah is part of the davening, not after the davening. Part of the davening to elevate the level of the tefillah, that it should be a tefillah sheyesh imo demoy. So when you have tekiyah shofar and you say Malchus HaNeshofes, and the concluding paragraph in each one of the three Malchus HaNeshofes has a bakosha, at the end the Malchus is say, L'keinu Ganesenu Melecho Kol HaHolam Kulu B'Chveidecho. The end of Zechayinu says, L'keinu Ganesenu Zechayinu B'Zekar Antavu L'Fanecho. The end of Shofar is the concluding paragraph in the middle brachas in the Shemana Esrei always has the bakoshas. The essence of the Shemana Esrei really is the middle. The Gimel Rishoides are an introduction, that's Shevach. The end of the Shemana Esrei is Haidoya, that's a conclusion. But that's not the essence of the davening. The essence in the davening is the middle part of the Shemana Esrei. So all year long we say 13, 14 brachas in the middle, those are the bakoshas. On Shabbos Yontov we leave all of those out, but we still have to have bakoshas tzorochim in the middle bracha. So we say on Shabbos and Yontov the concluding paragraph is the bakosha. Okay, I'm going to say no. Etc. The Ruchni is Dikat Tzorachim. Rav Moshe Feinstein quotes and says, on Shabbos we say Ruchni is Dikat Tzorachim, Bakosha Tzorachim. And on Yom Tov we say Vasienu Spirkas Mahat Lachaim Hashalom. Also Ruchni is Dikat Bakoshas. So on Rosh Hashanah and Musaf, when you say Malchus Chayne Shofres, the concluding paragraph also has Bakoshas Tzorachim. Ruchni is Dikat Tzorachim. So when you blow Shofar together with Malchus Chayne Shofres, there, it's their Isa. There, the Malchus HaNeshofes is their Isa. If it's Chalias B'Shabbos, and you're not going to blow Shofar, you're just going to say Malchus HaNeshofes, or you're in a village where there is no Shofar, then you're just going to say the Malchus HaNeshofes. Then the Gemara says it's only Midirabbanan. But to offer the Tefillah in conjunction with the Tekiyah Shofar, so Rashi's opinion is that is their Isa. The Gemara says that you only blow Shofar in the middle of Shemana Esrei, at the conclusion of Malchus HaNeshofes, if it's B'Tzibur. If it's biyochid, not. So that the different minhagim. What does it mean? Betzibur. Betzibur only means chazaras hashatz. What about tefillah belachash? Betzibur. So by chassidim they all blow shofar in the middle of tefillah belachash. Tosis quotes. There's a long Tosis in the end of Rosh Hashanah. Quotes the Oruch about Meir Koilus. So the Oruch writes that they have tekiyah shofar in the middle of the tefillah belachash as well. In recent years, only the chassidim do that, and it's a big balagan, because everybody's in a different place in the Shemana Esrei. It's very confusing. You don't know what's going on. Everybody's up to something else. The Abnei Nezer writes in his Chuvus He was a Chassidish Rebbe. He was a Sochet Shavu Rebbe. So he says, if he wouldn't be a Rebbe, he wouldn't have tkiyas in the middle of the Shtilish Manasseh because it makes such confusion. But he said, that's what he does for a living. He has no choice. A Rebbe has to all Chassidim. They have to blow Shavu in the middle of Tefillah Balachash. Now, Soloveitchik said his grandfather had a Tefillah, Reb Chaim had tkiyas in the middle of Tefillah Balachash, but only he made a private minion. He says, in a big shul, he would never do it because he would confuse the whole oilam. No one would know what's going on. If you have a small minion, Rav Soloveitchik had a tiny minion in Maimonides. There used to be 20, 30 people in Gansan. So he made an announcement in advance and explained what they're going to do. But in a big minion, there's just going to be other confusion. So the Rav Soloveitchik always used to make the announcement. Rav Elbel Soloveitchik, his uncle, probably got it from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, but he always used to be makbid to explain to the tzibur how to answer Amen properly. The Gemara says, if you answer Amen too quickly before the chazan concluded the final syllable of the bracha, that's improper. That's Amen Chatufa. Gechap, you said it too fast. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that the nus, the nigan that we use for davening on Yontif and on Rosh Hashanah Yom Noroim, misleads the oilam into answering Amen too quickly. Like you said, the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Zocher HaBris. So usually people don't wait till the chazan finishes the last syllable. They sing along with him. Amen. With the, they say, Kadesh, on Yontri, they say, Kadesh Yisrael, Mahazma, Amen. They say Amen before you finish the final syllable. So that's Shaloi Kedin. So if you don't have Anias Amen properly, Rab Chaim had a chiddush in the Rambam that by Chazaras Hashatz, Anias Amen is Li'ikuva. He had a diuk in the Rambam. So he thought if they're going to answer Amen improperly, going to answer too quickly, too soon, Anias Amen answered improperly as if they didn't say Amen. Anias Amen is Li'ikuva. So it comes out that you're not Yotzit Kiyo shall say to our brachas, because no one is answering Amen. It was not Chazaras Hashatz. That's why all year long it's not right. People should answer Amen properly. But more so on Rosh Hashanah, if you're not going to answer Amen properly, so no one will be Yotzei the Tkiyah shall say to Abrachas. The Chazanish has about this. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, oh, the Chazanish backs out from it a little bit. Rav Soloveitchik insisted, you want the Yotzei the Tkiyah shall say to Abrachas if you listen to the Chazaras Hashatz from the beginning to the end. He recommended you should stand the whole time, even if you don't stand, but you have to pay attention from the beginning to the end. If you're not going to hear all the words of the Chazaras Hashatz, then the tkiyas were not al seder abrochas. The chazan is it's tkiyas al seder abrochas for the chazan, not for the tzibur. The whole tzibur has to pay attention from the beginning to the end. Then it's called tkiyas al seder abrochas. Chazanish first starts off like that, then he tones it down a little bit. He said maybe if you heard the whole malchus kind of shurfus from the beginning to the end, maybe it's good. But the pashtus is the way he started off. The pashtus says you have to hear the whole chazaras hashatz from the beginning to the end. Yeah. The davening in the yeshiva is beautiful. They daven very nicely. They have fine bali tefillah. They daven slowly. Everyone is encouraged to come to the yeshiva, speak to the gaboim. They'll make arrangements. Have a good yontif. See you on the next time.